This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Welcome back. Mullet McCall, man. Grayson McCall.
He's the man. He's the man.
He really is.
He's a good football player. Like, he's going to go somewhere. I think he'll get to the NFL.
I still need to check on that NIL deal I was doing with him, though.
Yeah, we got to work on that.
Myrtle Beach State University. It'll look great on a visor.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. MBSU.
MBSU, baby. College football playoff indicator again, man. Just telling the ACC better luck next year. Pitt with a 9% chance. Clemson with a 6% chance. Total chaos would have to happen for either to make it. And here's little old Wake Forest, though. Undefeated, ranked number 19 in the country. It's not even on the playoff indicator.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
I'm going to try to make some sense of that with our guest. Joining us for his weekly visit on the Saitama Guest Hotline, former team captain at Georgia Tech, now an analyst for the ACC Network, Roddy Jones. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I am well, and I am perplexed. I want to know why little old Wake Forest not getting enough credit where credit is due.
Well, in order for them to be higher on any sort of playoff predictor, you have to think that they're going to go undefeated. And for them to go undefeated, you have to think that they're going to beat Clemson and NC State. And I think you know, whether it's analytics or just the eye test, I would say that's probably unlikely that they beat both of those teams. So I actually don't have as big an issue with it as some other people do. And I think, honestly, the fact that Clemson is even on the playoff predictor is a little bit, it shows you that sometimes analytics isn't exactly in touch with what we've got going on, because there's no way a two-loss team is making the playoff. That percent chance would be absolutely zero. So while Wake Forest is low, I think Clemson should be even lower. They should have a 0% chance.
Well, I agree with you 100%, and that kind of leads me to my next question. Other than Syracuse, who Wake Forest plays this weekend, 3:30 kickoff on ESPN2, is there anybody else in the ACC who might not be pulling for the Deacons? It seems to me an undefeated Wake Forest team, as improbable as that might sound, would be a logical option to make the playoff for the selection committee.
Yeah, look, I think everyone who covers the league is sort of rooting for Wake Forest to win out and to be that team that at least knocks on the door of it. But everyone in that division who sees Clemson with a loss, and for the first time in a long time, they're all thinking, hey, we can win this thing. Now, Louisville, while they took a loss to Wake Forest, they've still got Clemson later on. NC State's got the win over Clemson. BC, while they lost to Clemson, they still have everybody else left in the Atlantic Division. So I think everybody in that division, including even Syracuse, they've only got one conference loss. I think everybody in that division is looking at it and it's like, all right, Clemson's vulnerable. They've obviously lost the game already. So we can all win. So I would guess in ACC country, there's nobody rooting for Wake Forest other than the media.
You know, it's crazy, Roddy, that the parity, I don't want to say mediocrity, but the parity that has ruled the Coastal Division since its creation has now spread across the league. And I don't really know how I feel about it. I mean, on one hand, I like it because it's one of the things that attracts us to the NFL, that there's such parity in the league. But on the other hand, I think it behooves each conference to have an alpha. And as much as we might moan about it, it's a necessary evil. It's what Clemson has done for the ACC and for the better part of the last decade, Alabama in the SEC. What's your take?
Well, I think there's a little bit of a difference between what Alabama has going on in the SEC and what Clemson's had in the ACC. And it mainly is because, like, Alabama is the most talented team in the SEC most years. But it's the fact that it's the most years, and you kind of have to think about it. Like, if I were to say which team is more talented, Alabama or Georgia, it's not an automatic answer that it's Alabama. And it just goes to show you how talented Georgia is. Some years it's LSU, the year that they had a million guys drafted from the offensive side of the football, and Joe Burrow. LSU was the most talented team in the league. You never get that with Clemson. Like, there is no question, even this year, Clemson is the most talented team in the league. And I think it goes to show you the level of recruiting that other places have fallen to. Florida State's not recruiting where they used to be. Miami's not recruiting where they used to be. Virginia Tech's not developing like they used to. North Carolina's getting there, but they're still a couple cycles behind where they need to be. Georgia Tech is improving, but again, they're probably 5 years behind where they need to be with Clemson because they're not even recruiting at as high a level as North Carolina. So it's the talent disparity. Like, everybody in the ACC is kind of in that range, if you were to stack up rosters, between like 25 and 50 in terms of talent on the roster. Clemson's in the top five, and that's just not the case in those other conferences. You have some other team in that top 25 roster in the country, so you don't get that level of disparity that you do in the ACC typically, but you kind of get the parity this year because Clemson's not as good as they normally are.
You know, you mentioned North Carolina getting it going, and you're talking about talent distribution, and I read a fascinating article in The Athletic last night. I think it might have been by Stuart Mandel. The author escapes me, and I apologize. But they were doing recruiting what-ifs. What if Sam Howell had kept his commitment to Florida State instead of flipping it to North Carolina when Mack Brown had come aboard? What kind of impact do you think that would have made? Would it have made as much of an impact as we think? Because, well, there's a lot of issues going on at Florida State.
It would have made an impact. I mean, they've had an issue with the quarterback position. No question, he is better than anything that they've had. But I think the overall issue – So yes, it would have made an impact. But the reason Sam Howell decommitted from Florida State was not because Mack Brown was hired at North Carolina. It's because Willie Taggart fired Walt Bell, who was the offensive coordinator, who developed a really good relationship with Sam Howell. Walt Bell, now the head coach at UMass, was the coordinator that recruited him. So I think the what if needs to be, what if Florida State had some stability at offensive coordinator during Willie Taggart's tenure? That is the biggest question, because if that had happened, maybe that offense gels a year. Sam Howell goes there, and you end up with Willie Taggart still being the head coach because there's some continuity instead of having three offensive coordinators in three straight years. So that to me is the bigger what if. But I haven't read that article. I did see it, and I had it marked to read. I do like the idea, especially with the Marvel what if series going. Yeah. I do like the idea of, like, the what ifs. It's a fun rabbit hole to go down.
Well, here's a what if. What instead of going to North Carolina, he had followed his coach to UMass? Then maybe UMass would be favored against UConn tomorrow.
No, I don't think that's the case. Now we've gone too far. That's UMass is terrible.
They're playing UConn tomorrow, so I just jumped the shark.
They're also terrible.
We're joined by Roddy Jones of the ACC Network. You can follow him on Twitter at RoddyJones20. And, Roddy, I'm going to circle back to Wake Forest. And, look, I'm pretty familiar with that program. I was covering that program for years and years and years, and I was there when Jim Grobe handed the baton to Dave Clawson. Dave Clawson's done an amazing job during his tenure at Winston-Salem. It's the smallest of the Power Five schools. Doesn't have the greatest facilities, really under the radar. I'm going to throw this out there. Dave Clawson is the best coach in America that nobody talks about on a regular basis.
Completely agree. Because it's not just that he built Wake Forest, but he built Wake Forest in a way that they're going to be good for basically the entire time he's there. He's got a system that he has implemented that's going to continue to produce offensive lines that are very competitive, very experienced, because they redshirt every offensive lineman that walks in. They're old, and by the time they play, they've been in the system for 3 years. He's figured out a way to identify talent at skill positions that makes them highly competitive. I mean, when's the last time Wake Forest didn't have, like, a top-level receiver in the ACC? This year, it's Jaquari Roberson or A.T. Perry. A few years ago, it's Sage Surratt. Before that, they had Greg Dortch. And Kendall Hinton and Scotty Washington. Like, they always have these competitive receivers and then running backs that really fit that system. So I really, really appreciate what Dave Clawson has done there. He's done it in a sustainable way. He's done it in a way that is hard to do, because you have to redshirt guys that are more talented early in your tenure, that are more talented than the guys you're putting on the field, can help you win. But for the long-term success of the program, you have to build that depth on the offensive and defensive lines, and that's what he's done. So, yeah, he's a fantastic head coach. And I think the way he has done it is both why other colleges should be looking at him when their jobs come open, not pushing him out of Wake Forest, but other schools should be looking at him, and it's also the reason that other schools won't look at him because they want instant success. In a place like Tennessee, for example, wasn't going to tolerate bringing in a four-star recruit in the offensive line and redshirting him.
Here, and before you go, Roddy, you're going to love this story about Dave Clawson. When he first got the job, and a lot of his guys came from, I believe, was he at Bowling Green, Miami of Ohio? And I hate
Bowling Green, yeah.
Right. They had an entire day where the coaching staff, all they did that day was discuss the proper way to hold the football. Like, how they were going to coach it, what terminology they were going to use, making sure they're all on the same plane. I mean, that's how detail-oriented this guy is. He came in and put a panel together of players to get their input on what the menu should look like for pregame meals. He's so detail-oriented.
Yeah, it's the buy-in from top to bottom. I mean, I had him his first year, and he looked at me and said, look, we have stripped this thing down to the studs, and we are building a house. And the thing about building a house is it doesn't get built in a week or a month. It takes time to build a house, and you have to do things like strip down the fundamental. How do we hold the football? And then you evolve to, all right, how do we operate on offense? What's our tempo? What's our verbiage? How do we stand in the huddle? Now, they don't huddle anymore, but how do we stand on the sideline? How do we prepare to go in? How do we communicate? And then it evolves to, all right, situational football. How do we operate in 2 minutes? How do we operate in 4 minute situations? And when you do it from there, there's no stone left unturned in a program, and you get the type of program that's been top five in the conference in turnover margin for four of the last 5 years. They are one of the least penalized teams on a year-in, year-out basis. Oh, and by the way, they are very talented. And when you combine all of those things, you get a team in Wake Forest that very well could win the conference. I'm not saying that and make the playoff potentially. Who knows? I'm not saying that they can't. But from an overall standpoint, you have to respect what Dave Clawson has done, absolutely.
I agree 100%. You can follow him on Twitter, at RoddyJones20. You can catch him on games here, there, and everywhere. Where were you last night?
I had Tulane and Houston last night, and no game this weekend. I actually get a little bit of a break. There's only two games on the network, so Wes and I get the weekend off. So I'm in studio all week up here in Bristol.
All right, it's Roddy Jones of the ACC Network. Roddy, buddy, appreciate you coming on. Enjoy your, I guess, kind of down weekend. You're still working, and we'll chat next week.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, it's Roddy Jones of the ACC Network making his weekly appearance on the Saitama Guest Hotline.